Wherefore, having already begun and set out in the way of virtue, let us strive the more that we may attain those things that are before, and let no one turn to the things behind, like Lot's wife, all the more so that the Lord hath said, No man, having put his hand to the plough and turning back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And this turning back is naught else but to feel regret, and to be once more worldly minded. But fear not to hear of virtue, nor be astonished at the name, for it is not far from us, nor is it without ourselves, but it is within us, and is easy if we are only willing. That they may get knowledge, the Greeks live abroad and cross the sea, but we have no need to depart from home for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, nor to cross the sea for the sake of virtue. For the Lord aforetime hath said, The kingdom of heaven is within you. Wherefore, virtue hath need at our hands of willingness alone, since it is in us, and is formed from us. For when the soul hath its spiritual faculty in a natural state, virtue is formed, and it is a natural state when it remains as it came into existence, and when it came into existence it was fair and exceeding honest. For this cause Joshua, the son of Nun, in his exhortation said to the people, Make straight your heart unto the Lord God of Israel, and John, make your path straight. For rectitude of soul consists in having its spiritual part in its natural state as created. But on the other hand, when it swerves and turns away from its natural state, that is called vice of the soul. Thus the matter is not difficult. If we abide as we have been made, we are in a state of virtue. But if we think of ignoble things, we shall be accounted evil. If, therefore, this thing had to be acquired from without, it would be difficult in reality. But if it is in us, let us keep ourselves from foul thoughts. And as we have received the soul as a deposit, let us preserve it for the Lord, that he may recognize his work as being the same as he made it. And let us strive that wrath rule us not, nor lust overcome us, for it is written, The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And lust, when it hath received, beareth sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Thus living, let us keep guard carefully, and as it is written, keep our hearts with all watchfulness. For we have terrible and crafty foes, the evil spirits, and against them we wrestle, as the apostle said, For not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Great is their number in the air around us, and they are not far from us. Now there are a great distinction among them, and concerning their nature and distinctions much could be said, but such a description is for others of greater powers than we possess. But at this time it is pressing and necessary for us only to know their wiles against ourselves. First, therefore, we must know this, that the demons have not been created like what we mean when we call them by that name. For God made nothing evil, but even they have been made good. Having fallen, however, from the heavenly wisdom, since then they have been groveling on earth. On the one hand, they deceive the Greeks with their displays, while out of envy of us Christians, they move all things in their desire to hinder us from entry into the heavens, in order that we should not ascend up thither from whence they fell. Thus there is need of much prayer and of discipline, that when a man has received through the Spirit the gift of discerning spirits, he may have power to recognize their characteristics, which of them are less and which more evil, of what nature is the special pursuit of each, and how each of them is overthrown and cast out. For their villainies and their changes in the plots are many. The blessed apostle and his followers knew such things when they said, For we are not ignorant of his devices, and we, from the temptations we have suffered at their hands, ought to correct one another under them. Wherefore, I, having had proof of them, speak as to children. The demons, therefore, if they see all Christians, and monks especially, laboring cheerfully and advancing, first make an attack by temptation, and place hindrances to hamper our way, to wit, evil thoughts. But we need not fear their suggestions, for by prayer, fasting, and faith in the Lord, their attack immediately fails. But even when it does, they cease not, but knavishly by subtly come on again. For when they cannot deceive the heart openly with foul pleasures, they approach in different guise, and thenceforth, shaping displays, they attempt to strike fear, changing their shapes, taking the forms of women, wild beasts, creeping things, gigantic bodies, and troops of soldiers. But not even then need ye fear their deceitful displays, for they are nothing and quickly disappear, especially if a man fortify himself beforehand with faith and the sign of the cross. Yet are they bold and very shameless, for if thus they are worsted, they make an onslaught in another matter, and pretend to prophesy and foretell the future, and to show themselves of a height reaching to the roof and of great breadth, that they may stealthily catch by such displays those who could not be deceived by their arguments. If here also they find the soul strengthened by faith and a hopeful mind, then they bring their leader to their aid. And he said they often appeared as the Lord revealed the devil to Job, saying, His eyes as the morning star. From his mouth proceeded burning lamps, and hearths of fire are cast forth. The smoke of a furnace blazing with the fire of coals proceeds from his nostrils. His breath is coals, and from his mouth issues flame. When the prince of the demons appears in this wise, the crafty one, as I said before, strikes terror by striking great things, as again the Lord convicted him, saying to Job, For he counteth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. Yea, he counteth the sea as a pot of ointment, and the depths of the abyss as a captive, and the abyss as a covered walk. And by the prophet, the enemy said, I will pursue and overtake. And again by another, I will grasp the whole world in my hand as a nest, and take it up as eggs that have been left. Such, in a word, are their boasts and professions that they may deceive the godly. But not even then ought we, the faithful, to fear his appearance or give heed to his words, for he is a liar, and speaketh of truth never a word. And through speaking words so many and so great in his boldness without doubt, like a dragon he was drawn with a hook by the Saviour, and as a beast of burden he received the halter round his nostrils, and as a runaway his nostrils were bound with a ring, and his lips bored with an armlet. And he was bound by the Lord as a sparrow, that we should mock him. And with him are placed the demons his fellows, like serpents and scorpions, to be trodden under foot by us Christians. And the proof of this is that we now live opposed to him. For he who threatened to dry the sea and seize upon the world, behold, now cannot stay our discipline, nor even me speaking against him. Let us then heed not his words, for he is a liar. And let us not fear his visions, seeing that they themselves are deceptive. For that which appears in them is no true light, but they are rather the preludes and likeness of the fire prepared for the demons who attempt to terrify men with those flames in which they themselves will be burned. Doubtless they appear, but in a moment disappear again, hurting none of the faithful, but bringing with them the likeness of that fire which is about to receive themselves. Wherefore, it is unfitting that we should fear them on account of these things, for through the grace of Christ all their practices are in vain. Again, they are treacherous, and are ready to change themselves into all forms and assume all appearances. Very often also, without appearing, they imitate the music of harp and voice, and recall the words of Scripture. Sometimes, too, while we are reading, they immediately repeat many times like an echo what is read. They arouse us from our sleep to prayers, and this constantly, hardly allowing us to sleep at all. At any other time they assume the appearance of monks and feign the speech of holy men, that by their similarity they may deceive and thus drag their victims where they will. But no heed must be paid to them even if they arouse to prayer, even if they counsel us not to eat at all, even though they seem to accuse and cast shame upon us for those things which once they allowed. For they do this not for the sake of piety or truth, but that they may carry off the simple to despair, that they may say the discipline is useless, and make men loathe the solitary life as a trouble and burden, and hinder those who, in spite of them, walk in it.